Welcome to the January 26, 2015 board meeting. Meeting will now come to order. Thank you, everyone, for attending this evening. If you could all rise, face the flag over there for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Wilkinson, here. Mr. Elder,
here.
Mr. Wojcicki,
here.
Mrs. Nelson,
here.
Mr. Ellis,
here.
Mr. Escalante,
here.
Mr. Kenwood,
here. Okay, public participation. I'd like to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. If your comments have substantially been reflected in others, we ask, in the interest of time, that you please forego making them and that you provide the board with any copies of written material that you may have. Personal complaints and criticism about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Also, profanity, interruption, and or other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate District 41 staff representative for a response if a response is warranted. My phone is recycling all the time, so I'm going to ask Dean to keep track of the 3 minutes. So, any public participation?
Jeff Cooper.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, we are. Yes. We had technical difficulty. It happened again tonight, but it's moving forward. But thank you for your concern.
Sure. As far as the full-day kindergarten subject, we need to really discuss the front page of July, and I think we're going to have some people with the district issues. Let's understand something. It's not going to pass a referendum for just full-day kindergarten. It's just not an issue. So with that being said, then we have to understand that we have to separate a few things. The facility costs for full-day kindergarten and having full-day kindergarten. I have no problem with full-day kindergarten, but it needs to, like everything in this world, it needs to fit within what we are doing. Everything can't be the priority. Okay? Something has to be more important than something else. We can't come up every week with different things that are game changers or she game changers. Something has to be number one. So if full day kindergarten is number one, then we need to go ahead and go back and step back and find what it is that we're doing that's taking up space in our schools with love, reading, writing, arithmetic, and all the things that have come along since I graduated. And make sure that the room for full day kindergarten is there first before some other thing that we've got to do over the last couple of years that maybe is not so absolutely essential. So that's what I think you guys need to do is figure out how to work with them what we have. Because you're not going to get the people of this district to build a building before they can. I know you have a presentation tonight. I know we have a listening session. I know there's a question about the offset regarding the same thing. But that's the bottom line. You need to understand going forward that this is an exercise in the building. You plan to set all plans on a building that's not going to get done. As far as the listening sessions go, I do have a question, and I'd like to find out if those sessions are going to be just for people to ask questions and speak, or if we're going to do what we did in the last listening session, which is maybe after the presentation. So if that hasn't been decided yet, I would love to hopefully get that to our process out there. Yeah, the listening session would be good.
Yeah, just tell them when it's time's up. So. Thank you. Anyone else? No? Okay, terrific. Then we will move on to presentations. I believe we have a facilities planning presentation. And just a reminder to everyone, we have a policy of not really trying to lay out the floor plan of our schools. It's from a security perspective. So I'm going to ask that if you see some drawings up here, please don't take any pictures as we want to keep that as confidential as possible.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm glad so many people came out tonight. We'll be going over the facilities presentation, starting off with some real celebrations with our phase one and the ribbon cutting ceremonies that many board members, myself, staff were able to join this past Saturday. It was an incredible event held over at Ben Franklin next Saturday. We're going to be over at Lincoln opening up those incredible facilities. It really was a special morning. We had, the best part of it, it was with students. And students helped us open up those classrooms. And that's the piece that I'm just so pleased with. The work that the board did to initiate these buildings, these classrooms in each of our schools. At the end of the day, we'll have 17 new classrooms that will replace 18 portables throughout our district. It's a huge initiative. A huge initiative, and one that shouldn't just be lost as we continue to move forward into our phase two. The financial commitment that the board has and really looks after the taxpayers' monies over time to be able to put that money towards those classrooms was absolutely a huge benefit. But as we move into phase two, there's still more to do. And as you can see here, we're going to review the board goals. We're going to talk about facility plans for our elementary schools. We're going to show you a plan for Hadley Junior High. We're going to talk about our community listening sessions. And there will be a short presentation because not everybody here will be there next Saturday. So it's incumbent that we are sharing the same information so the community at large can hear similar information. So it really is important to follow those same types of processes that we put in place. So those community listening sessions, we're coming right out of the gate next Saturday at 10:30, right here in the same space. And then that following Wednesday, February 7th at 7 p.m., again, right here in this space.
February 4th.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. So that's February 4th at 7 p.m. right here. And then the board processes tonight, the presentation. Head back over on February 9th. I'll be bringing a recommendation forward to the board. And then some discussion and then action shortly following that. So the board goals set out when I first came to District 41 was to remove the portable, right-size the school. What the board is considering is this additional goal, providing full-day kindergarten. But what we've accomplished so far, as I alluded to at the very beginning, is pretty huge. We moved 16 portables across the district, built four new classrooms at Abraham Lincoln, built four new classrooms at Benjamin Franklin, building new classrooms to open in August 15th at Churchill and Forest Glen. We'll have those pieces there and ready to go for students to move in August for the other two schools. But again, we still have more to do. We have portables still remaining at Churchill. We have 10 portables here at Hadley. Oftentimes, we don't talk about Hadley and this portable conversation, but these are important too. The board's goal was really clear to me. Eliminate all portables, not just portables at the elementary schools. So this is an important piece that we need to look at. That next goal the board set for me, we've got to really look at right-sizing our facilities and allow for flexibility within our facilities to grow when we have a bump year in a class level. Again, looking at real flexibility. And then, as we said, that additional goal, create space for full-day kindergarten. But as I've talked about, one of the things that we still have to do, we need to talk about Churchill for a second. So before I get into the three options, because all three of these options rely on this recommendation that I'll be bringing forward to tonight. There's another slide. Sorry. So we still have overcrowding in all of our schools. We have to make sure that we're really focused on ensuring that our kids have that right space. When you heard from our principals probably 2.5 months ago, we really walked you through their schools and seeing where they're at currently. And when we look at full-day kindergarten, I think that's that next piece of thing. We're overcrowded. No other programs can come back to this district. Other programs that I believe need to be coming back as well are our special education students who are in District 89, 15, our case cooperative. Those are our students. They should be educated in our schools. We know the benefits of full-day kindergarten. We know it's an important piece for our kids. We have to continue to keep ensuring that this district is held in high esteem as it has been for years. Districts all throughout Glenbar, except for Marquardt, will have full-day kindergarten starting next year. District 89, last month, approved full-day kindergarten. St. Pat's approved full-day kindergarten. Districts around the country are approving full-day kindergarten. This is that piece that really sets districts apart, and that's a piece that we need to continue looking at. We have support for full-day kindergarten. Our community believes in it. The survey, District 41, our continuous improvement team, Team 21, CIT, both recommended full-day kindergarten. As I said, the majority of our feeders are already doing or will do full-day kindergarten next year. So what does the future look like in District 41? What does our enrollment look like? There's been some good questions that came up at a town hall meeting. At the end of the day, we're a 35 to 3600 student school district. That's who we have been for the past 9 years. That's who we have. We will be going forward. So what you'll see up here, you'll see some names at CASARDA. CASARDA is a census group who's done 2 studies for our district, one in 2007 and one in 2012. And what you see in this column here, the ISBE serving school enrollment, that's our current enrollment. It's our most accurate data that we have on how many students do we have in this district. As you can see, from 2007, 3571, to 2015, 3513, we're a 3,500 to a 3,600 student school district. That's who we are. I believe that's where we're going to be. That's what I've consistently said for the past year and a half. We've been a consistent district in those numbers. So as we put those enrollment numbers there, we talked about the facilities. That's what we're going to jump into now. But before I can, again, really want to talk about Churchill and what we're doing with Churchill. Churchill continues to be our most challenged school with space. 669 students are in Churchill. Largest, most diverse population. Still have 4 portables remaining. So one of the things that I'm going to be recommending to the board tonight, in the coming weeks, is to add 4 classrooms now to Churchill. With the currently we're running about $1 million in savings in our classroom additions. I would recommend the board to use that additional $1 million and $2 million from fund balance. Roughly, we have, after all the spending from the first part of phase one, we'll have about $9 million, which puts us around 20% of fund balance. I'd recommend using $2 million of that, which would put us at $7 million and about $15 million of fund balance, or 15% of fund balance. I think the most important piece for me in this recommendation is how all the students fit within the schools. Where are they at? Where are they going to be? And still giving flexibility to our schools. So when we look at that, it's important, one, to eliminate the portals, because those just need to go away no matter how we look at it. It will, again, give us a little bit more parking space and provide better interior circulation space. But the most important piece is when we look at the numbers, it fits. When Karen, Ron, Jack, and Mike come up to present the facilities, you're going to see, we've laid it out, so you know where those classrooms are at. You see where the kids are at. You see where how the school is used. Again, the principals make some little different decisions. These are modeled classrooms, where they actually go. What we're trying to show you is that they do fit. But it's important with Churchill to have those four classrooms as we go through the three different options. The first option would be modifying our schools. Second option would be a K-5 school. And a third option would be an early learning center. But within each of those scenarios, those four classrooms are needed. And an important point, we can maybe make it work in a K-5, but you're putting the district back in the same situation where we're tight. Not a whole lot of room for growth. So I'm real pleased with this recommendation that I'll be bringing forward to the board in 2 weeks. So the next piece, I'm going to invite Karen and Ron and Mike to come up. And they're going to talk about, this first part will be the modifications. So they're going to go through a conceptual drawing of what it would look like. And then Karen will walk you through each of the space utilizations for each of the facilities.
Paul, before we go on.
Oh, please.
Sorry, so what you're saying is we have kind of two different conversations here. One, your recommendation for Churchill and getting rid of all the portables, that's a conversation we want to have. The other side is kindergarten.
Yes.
Two different things.
I'll bring you two different recommendations next week.
Mutually exclusive, possibly.
Possibly. It depends on how the board votes on those pieces. So, yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, yeah, we believe you need those four classrooms no matter what you do.
There might be some people here who don't know everybody presenting. Can you give us the last names and the affiliations?
Hi, I'm Ron Richardson with MGMR.
Sorry, just one more question on that.
Oh, okay.
The way I understood what he said, the Churchill is regardless of full-day kindergarten, and the other recommendations are all around implementing full-day kindergarten. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You could see them differently, but Churchill can stand by itself.
And getting rid of Hadley.
And getting rid of Hadley.
Don't forget about Hadley.
I'll let you guys be. So if you guys would go back and introduce yourselves again.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Denz with FGM Architects.
And Karen Carlson.
All right, so here's the flow for this evening. Mike and I will be explaining the implications of these different planning models on the existing buildings. So we're going to sort of summarize the architectural impact, and then Karen is going to take over and talk about the space usage after the modification is made. And I think it's also important to say that the first thing that we're going to look at is modifying existing sites to accommodate full-day kindergarten. That's the challenge that we've been assigned. No new school, modify existing sites. All right, so the first building I want to discuss, and this is kind of awkward, looking here. So I'll point to this particular image and part that out. But this is interesting because this is actually the most challenging site too. And we've created several diagrams to sort of underscore that component. This is the existing Lincoln site. In this yellow band that rings the site is your property line, sort of an L-shaped piece of property. Then this green band that falls within that yellow line is what we refer to as the building setback. So that's the limit to which we have to conform to. We can't build within that setback unless we apply for variances in the building. So those are sort of that's the context of the site. And then layered on top of that is our floodplain. This line right here in this aqua area, and actually over here too, is in the floodplain. So this, again, this gives you context. You can see our building is tucked right in, neatly within all of these limitations. So there really is, there's little to no buildable area on the site unless we apply for variances. So that's the context. So, again, our challenge was to add two classrooms to the site where you're not supposed to build. So this particular site led us to the conclusion that we needed to take away and then add back and reconfigure in order to add the two new classrooms to accommodate full day K. And so you can see on this site aerial that there's a little bit inside this existing pod, the west pod where we're going to be remodeling. This portion right here, this the circular office area, the plan would be to replace that area and then to deal with some other space issues that have come up over the last several years during master planning efforts. We've actually added some space over here to expand the cafeteria and also to relocate the kitchen area. So again, this is your, this is the entire site, and these are the proposed modifications in the context of the limitations of my code. Next. All right, so getting back to those modifications, these, we, you can see that we've added, art and music are currently in these, or planned to be in these two classrooms. So what we propose is to remodel this entire core space to create four new kindergarten classrooms. In other words, two existing classrooms are here. We're going to make them slightly bigger and then add two kindergarten classrooms across the hallway. And we're basically taking out the television labs that are in that center bay and making four larger kindergarten spaces. So art and music that were located here have shifted into the center core. So we created spaces in the center core for art and music. The office area has been vastly reconfigured. This building replacement exercise actually gave us another station that we identified as a steam lab. Again, that's a bonus for being in the center core, but that's going to come with this core replacement. And then, like I mentioned before, we're going to expand the lunchroom because this has a unique limitation because the gyms are separated. So the school can't use both spaces, and they've requested additional cafeteria space to accommodate the kids with these larger capacities. And especially if we're ramping up capacity in the school, we're going to need that space. And then these green bars that go to the east and west, those are connecting links. That's going to improve building circulation in this facility. But that would cause us to relocate our kitchen space outward. So that's being relocated to the outer area. These are, if you remember the green, the yellow lines that are on that site plan, that's what these are representing right here to show you how tight we are to the setback configurations.
So as Paul mentioned, with the kindergarten spaces, we're going to be I kind of created like a little checklist. These are the things we wanted to accommodate in each of the buildings. These things like a STEAM lab, a literacy lab, a math lab to use for providing interventions, art and music still there, a resource room, a class for our ESL teachers and when they work with small groups, some of those kinds of things, as well as kind of spaces where you can put 4 to 6 teachers, because they need a spot to kind of store their stuff. So this, what I try to do is make sure, does it all fit? And I believe Paul mentioned too that obviously, a building principal is going to take at it. They might want to flip things around, some of those kinds of things. So with Lincoln being modified, they would be considered a 4-section school. So we're able to include 4 sections of everything along with the STEAM lab, the math lab, and adequate space to support those who need kind of office space or working with small groups, those kinds of things. So they actually have, with that new configuration, more flexibility than they've ever had. And that's just at Lincoln. I'll talk a little bit more about the other buildings, kind of what their flexibility is.
All right. Okay, again, site impact at Franklin. We've shifted gears and moved over to Franklin. Again, this is a site diagram. The color rendition isn't all that great. But here is our property line right in the site, and then here is our building setback line, which is actually fairly far into the site. It's a pretty aggressive setback line. So the next slide, You can see again that property setback line. We tucked two new kindergarten classrooms here at the tail end of the existing classroom right here on the end front. And then here's our new addition that we just opened a few weeks ago. And please bear in mind, too, that these are all diagrams. These are not building plans. These are just to give you order of magnitude. This particular addition is now cutting into the playground, which is going to cause us to push that playground further to the west. So it's a domino effect. You know, these sites are tight. They're small. We all know that. And every time we try to add or modify something, it causes something downstream. We're going to also pull more water and other things for this particular site.
So with Franklin, again, we would consider it to be a four-section school. And there is a second floor, so we'll flip back to that in here. But there's kind of some notes up there. As we kind of place those four sections of everything, we maintain the three self-contained programs that are at Franklin, and we continue to be able to maintain those. Franklin, though, would lose the STEAM lab, and they don't really have a workroom. I mean, we could probably capture some space. If you flip to the next page, too, this level three literacy kind of has that nice big space. You know, we do something to kind of capture a tiny workroom, that sort of thing. But we'd be hard pressed to squeeze out a STEAM lab in this particular case.
Karen, workroom for you is for the teachers, right?
Teacher workroom, yeah. A place for them to collaborate, but also to eat lunch together,
yeah.
And stuff like that.
Okay, so physical impact at Churchill. This is probably the second most complicated solution, you know, relative to Lincoln. And basically, assuming that these four classrooms have been constructed, which is a separate phase one discussion, but we would be adding two additional classrooms over here. And again, you can see the same color coding. This green line is our building setback, as we understand it today. Things change, you know, as we understand the codes today, this is our building setback. There's our parking line. I've also included a little purplish pink line here. That's a paving setback. There's a hard surface setback that comes into play because we talked about maybe, you know, some sort of access path back to the back area of the building.
Is that to scale? Are those rooms actually bigger than the classrooms?
It's diagrammatic, but the intent here is that these classrooms are rough. It is roughly to scale, and there's actually dimensions on here. But this is a typical 900 square foot, and this is anywhere from 1200 to 1400 square foot to accommodate kindergarten space.
I believe in most of them, when it's always a modified version, we try to put the kindergarten there because you could build it with like a bathroom and more of like that ideal thing you want within the kindergarten room. So Churchill School would remain a five-section building, which is kind of on average what it is now. Dual language would be remaining at Churchill. But even with that configuration with the two kindergarten rooms, because it's five sections, you're still going to have one kindergarten room that will kind of just be a standard classroom. We're not able to have a STEAM lab here. There's no math lab. We squeezed in the literacy lab. That kind of stayed where it was. There's no staff work room. I did wonder in the end, kind of next to that new hallway. I don't know how big that would be in the end, but could you squeeze in like a? They have nothing right now, so that would probably be better
than nothing.
Better than nothing. Right. And they don't really have a lot of space for like all their other support staff. You know, there's a lot of teachers and things like that. They do a lot of doubling up now, so they would kind of continue to do that. But we took away they're not able to get. I think they've got like math, literacy, and bilingual, she does interventions all in the same room right now. We would have the need for them to continue to do that. They have Churchill as well. They have the least flexibility in the modified version as they do today.
Okay, and this last diagram looks complicated, but actually this is the cleanest site in terms of potential expansion of the four sites. And again, it's the same color coding. This was originally yellow, but somehow it turned orange. So that's the property line, the paving setback, and then the building setback is this green line. You can can see over here in the context. And so, again, these are the classrooms that I believe they're just concrete block walls right now. And they're under construction. We would be adding on to the tail end of that. And it's very similar to Churchill. These would be, we're proposing kindergarten-sized classrooms being added to this particular area. And again, you can see the context here. You know, we would have to look at moving other kindergarten sections over adjacent to that potentially, because currently other two kindergarten classes are on the other side of the building.
And in the space utilization, I didn't move them. I was just trying to kind of see how everything fits. So, Forest Glen, four sections. It maintains the pre-K and the early childhood classrooms that they currently have. And I forgot to mention, Churchill would retain. They've got one pre-K classroom as well, and modified version in that. So, again, four sections, maintains that program in that. But to get everything else to fit, no steam lab and no math lab. The lit lab kind of went into that small space in there, and the staff work room then kind of stays in the basement. So they have limited flexibility, and kind of to just summarize kind of things. So three of the buildings would be four sections, Churchill is five sections. Within these, you've got the least amount of flexibility when you get that bubble class. We've seen the buildings, sometimes they go back and forth between three and four. If you go to four to five, some of those buildings, it would be a challenge as well. But then you just kind of have to start moving things around and combining as we do today.
You said that, so for example, in this one, there's no steam lab. Is that because we can't put one on the physical space that we have, or because we just didn't design one in the solution? Is it a physical space limitation with the building
itself? Well, our task was to add on two kindergarten classrooms. Okay. That was our task. Right. If your question is, could you add more physical space, the question is, the answer would be yes, you could. But you're encroaching on your FAR. There may be other code limitations.
That's fine. I heard someone say, because of the, there'd be no steam lab, no this, because of the limitations, but
right.
It's not a, okay, that's what I wanted to.
All right. Talk
about the next option for the new K-5. This here, the diagrammatic site plan of a proposed sort of, we worked with the administration, kind of developed a program for this K-5 four-section school, and now we're test-fitting it onto the former Spalding Elementary School site, which used to be a two-section school. You can see the expense of the property with the solid black line, which is about 4.86 acres. And then to the north, to get some context, the Spalding Park, and you can see the edge of that floodplain, which the school property is outside of. To move a little bit into the building concept, you see the blue color in these three wings. Those are two-story elements, and we'll see some more plans in a few minutes here, but those are your classroom wings. Yellow being administrative suite area, which is at the front door of the school off of Forest Avenue. And then our shared core spaces in a lighter blue-green color, which is your gymnasium, cafeteria, library, media center, those types of spaces. Talk a little bit about site circulation. The concept right now is 10 buses along the north side for pickups at the end of the school day. Off the plaza area, the kids could exit out of these wings and enter on their bus and move on their way through the day. Along Park Boulevard is the bus drop-off, and then on the opposite side, the car drop-off at the front door of the school, close to the administration suites. If this option was to move forward, we would have a traffic consultant on board to do simulations. It's important to maintain good flow and circulation around this school site and this residential neighborhood during school days. To continue on, 108 spaces and a parking lot here at the south side of the site on the school property. You see these green areas around that parking lot, which are berms at the level a little bit higher than your headlights on a car to help kind of block some of those glaring beams into some neighboring residences around. And then we also have some open space. You see the solid the brown colors, which are fenced in secure playground areas for recess, and also some additional open space, which could fit a small baseball field.
Mike, I want to give the audience too a little context. This is, you know, you saw the setbacks and the building diagrams, which was about the same size as that site. So it's a very small site, 4.8 acres, right? It's a matter. One other comment, too, is that this can be gated and used for art service play areas in the day. That's another feature of this. It's a very small site.
And for service drive, building maintenance areas, this gray box here, the service drive, which you'll see in the next plan, could service that maintenance area for deliveries and also a kitchen for the cafeteria. A little bit bigger of a picture, more developed diagrammatic concept plan, starting to show how those classroom wings are divided up. On the ground level, you have your primary grade levels, your kindergarten, your first grade, and your second grade, all on the ground level. Administration at the front door, sort of your main circulation spine. On the south side of that spine, you have your shared core spaces, cafeteria, which is sized for three lunch periods in the day, which also has a small stage, which could serve for performances and events after hours and during school. A gymnasium, music and art classrooms, and then a media center that anchors that southeast corner of the building. Second level, all of this is low roof, and you have your gymnasium, which is your higher space, and then we have our second floor, which is our third, fourth, and fifth grades. And the light blue would be like students' support space, maybe special ed or other programs that are needed to support the curriculum. And the gray could be any mechanical space for MEP and vertical circulation, which gives you the second level. And then along with this option are modifications that need to take place to accommodate for full day K in the existing elementary schools. The first one being Abraham Lincoln, where we would modify two classrooms to make a larger full day kindergarten classroom.
So the new K-5 building would be four sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lincoln, Franklin, and Forest Glen would be a three-section building. Churchill and the new building would be four sections. So at Lincoln, with three sections, where that new little placement is, which is another kindergarten room, it's going to be centrally located. They have all of the labs, the STEAM lab, lit math lab, adequate office space, and they would actually be able to house two self-contained programs. So we have that opportunity to bring kids back who require something a little bit more along that continuum. Go in here as well. And again, remember, you know, these rooms could be moved around. The principal kind of would reflect in that. So that's kind of a Lincoln option, and we were able to kind of fit everything in there.
And then for Benjamin Franklin, the next school, again, two more traditional size classrooms would be renovated to make create one larger full day kindergarten classroom.
Again, Franklin would be three sections. We maintain the current three self-contained programs that are there. And they've got, between the first and the second floor, all of the adequate space from Lit Lab, Math Lab, STEAM Lab, as well as office space and things like that. The second floor just kind of shows what remains in different sections. Yeah, three sections though. Oh, yeah, so nothing would really, no other kind of modifications that are needed to really make in Churchill. It is four sections. On this particular format, I didn't designate like what would be dual classrooms. One thing I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier too, with a new K-5, you need to kind of almost capture about 100 students from each of the existing four schools that we require a boundary change that would go to the new building. And depending on where those boundary changes occur, would lead us to either keep Jewel at Churchill or it would, may move to kind of the new building. So with Churchill here, with the four sections, they've got a STEAM lab, lit math lab, they've got that office space. So we can actually able to kind of accommodate all those flexible spaces in there at Churchill. Forest Glen.
For Forest Glen, there would be some renovation of existing traditional size classrooms into three larger full-day kindergarten classrooms and a resource room.
So you see where those slightly larger kindergarten classrooms are. Again, it's three sections. It maintains its pre-K and early childhood programs there as well. And it meets all of kind of that other criteria between the math and lit lab, the STEAM lab, and we've kind of accounted for each of the other programs in there as well. One last comment. Back kind of that flexibility, if you have that bubble classroom that comes through, in each of those buildings, you have kind of greater opportunity to kind of make some shifts around to accommodate a bubble class that would kind of work its way through there.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the new early learning center, the third option there. This is a new facility for early childhood education, as well as pre-K and full-day kindergarten. And what we've done here is it was important to recognize the existing context in the neighborhood with all these residential properties and the relationship to the street being 50 to 65 feet away. And now that we have this early learning center, you have more space that wants to be at ground level at grade because of the younger kids in the school. You really don't want multiple levels. So our footprint gets a little larger, but we wanted to maintain this relationship to the surrounding context and hold it back as far from the street as we can. Right now we're approximately 85 feet from the street to the outer edges of the building. And the way the building is organized is a central spine as sort of all your shared core spaces, your multi-purpose room, your cafeteria, the yellow being the administration suite, which is the front door of the school, and then you have these clusters of classrooms or pods, which are kindergarten and then pre-K and some early childhood, which are closer to the front door there. Site circulation, similar to the K-5 option, we have a bus drop-off or pick up at the north side of the site, and car drop-offs on the east and west sides, which are dual lane. And the way these work are parents could pull in, park off to the side, walk their kid up to the door, into their classrooms of their proper, you know, their designated team, signified by these pictures of animals here. And then for early childhood, parents would bring their children through this parking lot, park off to the side, walk their children into the school, past the main administration suite to their classrooms. You'll notice down here we have 100 parking spaces. Again, some more berming around the parking to help block some of those headlight glares into the neighboring residences. And we also have a fenced-in playground area, which would also be fenced in with the bus drop-off at the top there.
Just to hammer that home too, just to make sure it's clear, these are sort of a house within a house concept. Each one of these pods relates to an existing elementary school. Four pods, four elementaries. So the hope is that the kids over in this pod are going to be taught and then with a group of teachers and they continue to their elementary school. So there, it's a very different layout than you traditionally see. It's sort of a house concept within the early learning school.
And you can see those names of elementary schools there, Churchill, Franklin, Forest Glen, and Lincoln. To get a little bit more detail on the plan, we have our kindergarten clusters, 17 kindergarten classrooms, 2 early childhood, and 4 pre-K. Currently looking at sort of an L-shaped configuration, which works well for the three types of activities that usually happen in a kindergarten classroom, which are your messy, your active, and your quiet spaces. And between those classrooms are opportunities for shared space, whether that be toilets for the classrooms or observation rooms or special ed sort of resource type rooms. In the central bay here, the multi-purpose room for more your physical activities for the kids. Cafeteria, which would serve two periods of lunch for the kindergartners. And then a stage, which could function for the cafeteria or the multi-purpose space and could be a dual purpose and partitioned off with optical partitions and could be used as a music room. Along the circulation corridor, open to the corridors, are these extended learning areas where teachers could take their kids outside of the classroom to do learning activities and group activities sort of out in the open. And here's a very sort of schematic 3D view of the massing. You have your one-story elements, which would be your classrooms, and then one and a half stories for that central spine, where you want to lift that up and be able to bring in daylight through the sides with clear story windows.
Is a multi-purpose room not a gym? Is that a fair assumption?
It's not a full gym in the sense that it has a basketball court, but it could hold the activities for physical education.
Can I clarify something too that Mike said about the windows, just so you're not misled? You know, that there's a new code that's now out there for shelters, storm shelters. So we're going to have to study that. Mike specifically said clear story glasses. We love daylight, and we want to flood spaces with daylight. But there are new code restrictions. We can have to reinforce that code. So we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there to see what that looks like.
So if you think back to that drawing, kind of how it was laid out, five sections were at Churchill, and then the other four would be four sections. So kindergarten would start out that way. It would include dual kindergarten also at the early learning centers as well. So here's Lincoln with an early learning center. They would have four sections of grades 1 through 5, and they're able to accommodate all the different labs, lit, math, STEAM, step work, and things like that. Again, bubble class comes through, we have some flexibility. Franklin, four sections, 1st through 5th grade. They maintain their 3 self-contained programs, and they can accommodate all 3 of those labs, as well as a staff workroom, 1st and 2nd floor. And then at Churchill, again, it's 5 sections, 1st through 5th. Here we actually did designate, which would be the dual. And again, they've got a math lab, lit lab, STEAM lab, as well as adequate office space for some of their support people and staff workroom as well at Churchill. And then for Fort Glen, 4 sections, 1st through 5th grade. They also, you can see, kind of put art and music into kind of some of those bigger classrooms up at the top. They're actually able to accommodate 2 new self-contained special ed programs with this, and they have their STEAM lab, math lab, lit lab, as well as a staff workroom. And in all of those scenarios, they would have kind of that greater opportunity for flexibility, given if a bubble class were to come through, to kind of make some switches in some of those spaces.
Before you move on to the next slide, I just wanted to go back to Mr. Kendall's question about the expansion of full day K within the existing facilities. Mm-hmm. And can we just keep adding on to those buildings? One of the challenges, there's several challenges with that, and it goes back to the conversation that the principals had about some of the challenges that existed at those existing facilities. And by continuing to add on to those facilities, what would end up happening at Forest Glen and Franklin and Churchill would be more similar to what we did at Lincoln to try to recreate in those buildings, because otherwise we're going to end up losing either hard surface, soft surface. You're going to have continued parking problems, infrastructure problems from circulation, bathrooms. So there's a combination of all of those things that yes, my colleague is correct. We could continue to keep going, but there are challenges. And I'll build it for you. But there are challenges with that answer.
Yes. Adding classroom space, increasing capacity is going to aggravate everything that is already problematic.
So, you know, we had to take the step in Lincoln to recreate that core space because there's physically no room to add two more kindergarten classes and then hold all the lunchroom periods that you need. So they come in and then have a space for art and music. So all of those things combined led to having to do something more substantial than Lincoln. At Forest Glen, Churchill, Franklin, we were able to bring full day K in there, but we did not take that next step to evaluate the three or four additional things that we might need at those buildings in context of the existing core challenges. So there's a balance there.
One more footnote. Were there some challenges to reconfiguring Lincoln in the very first scenario where we don't build a new building at all, but we
modifications.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's how long does it take?
That's where I'm headed. You know, as far as scheduling and things, that is a 2 to 3 year project. Because we, in my mind, and Jack can correct me if I'm wrong, what we would end up doing is probably a lot of the heavy remodeling and then the connecting link, that you saw from the gym space to the building, because we have to physically sever all of our HVAC and electrical systems and reroute those for continuity. So we have to do that first before we can take down the old building. So then we would then remodel, reroute systems, then go back into school, use it, come back later, start that tear down and new construction.
Those
people have to go somewhere, whether it's mobile or somewhere else on site, or somehow we can use the capacity of the building. We haven't determined that. I mean, it'd be ideal for a swing school or something else to come up on so that the kids can go off-site, but that's another whole other level of decision making.
Okay, and so are you going to comment here tonight or in 2 weeks on the expected time frame for any of these options? You said 2 to 3 years for the first one?
For Lincoln, correct. I don't think that's unreasonable to say Lincoln abroad. Similar to the budget information.
Okay, so we'll get that.
We can give you a broad framework and time frame.
Sure. For maybe
Lincoln is very unique in that it probably deserves if that was going to be forward to go that direction. It would deserve a study to determine does it make sense to keep the building occupied while you do this 2 to 3 year program, or rent another facility. Do it all in 1 year and then move back. It's that disruptive to the existing operation. People deserve that kind of study at some point in the future.
Yeah, I think if we see that analysis, we need to understand, you said 2 to 3 years. Hadley was twice as much square footage that we did, and we were still able to do that within 2 years based on our previous. No, when we did an initial view of Hadley and we put together, we were doing about 95,000 square feet, and we were able to do that in less than a 2 year window. So it'd be nice to understand, this was back in 2008 or 7 or whatever, but it'd be nice to understand when you say 2 to 3 years, how much that is actually disrupting the school, right? Because at Hadley, we were doing it in less than 2 years, and we really weren't. We were doing a piece of it, not really disrupting the school. Let school go, and then do another piece of it. So, you need to understand the impact of the school, not so much just the elapsed time on the building.
Well, it also has to do with what you're doing internally, because if I was watching this correctly, that internal part of Lincoln, where really that's the delinking. I mean, it's in the heart of the school. So, I agree with what you're saying, John, in terms of being able to frame it, but it really is, as I'm listening to this, our buildings are so unique than Franklin being, 1929, and just the whole design of Lincoln being that kind of different connections, etc. So the disruption piece is going to be unique to different schools, I would think.
Yeah. And Hadley was a pretty much a gut out of the middle, too. So that's why I'm interested in the time.
Okay. All right. So everybody has in front of them the accomplishments and limitations of each one of these. From the view of the architect, the construction manager, administration. So just quick highlights of each modification. We've kind of talked about that. You're not building a new facility, but you do have some of the constraints that Karen and the gentleman just talked about. The new K5, probably the greatest limitation are the boundaries. As Karen alluded to, be about 100 students from each of the schools, about 25% of the population moving to make that occur. Limitation on the early learning center, kindergartners. You know, we'd be transporting all of our kindergartners to that space. The on the positive side for the modifications. Again, you're not creating a new space. You're working within the confines. The new K-5, again, you're just limiting the overall impact on each of the schools by bringing more students out. So your space utilization increases, and the same with the Early Learning Center. Both for those pieces, you know, it is on a District 41 property, so for the K-5 and the Early Learning Center. But you all have these same pieces in front of you as well. The next piece we're going to jump into quickly is Hadley. You know, the long-forgotten Hadley in many of these conversations. For Hadley, we're really looking at replacing the 10 portables with 4 new classrooms and new support space on the west side of the building. Create 3 remodeled classrooms and 3 science classrooms to existing cafeteria space and add a cafetorium. That would be used by many people, but it would be a 600 student, or I apologize, a 500 student space. So it'll be some unique pieces that Mike and Ron will take us through.
Then to give a little context, we have Glencoe Street over on this side, and then Hawthorne Boulevard, which kind of goes off the slide here. This project includes some renovation and an addition. About 23,000 square feet, and then also a new bus drop-off, which accommodates 18 buses, gets them onto the school property and off of Glencoe Street, which is safer for the kids and better for traffic flow in the neighborhood. The renovated portion of the project is about 9,400 square feet, converting this existing cafeteria to science labs, 3 science labs, and 3 classrooms. And then in the addition would be 4 additional classrooms that would give us the 10 that would accommodate the removal of those outdoor mobiles. In the gray, we have MEP space and more storage space. And a cafetorium, which is a cafeteria and with a stage, which could accommodate performances for 500 guests, but also function as a cafeteria during the day for 3 lunch periods for 400 students. It would also be a full-service kitchen with a service drive for deliveries, which would be accessed from that bus drop-off area.
Okay, yeah, and one other comment, too. Just this is a general comment. We're sort of highlighting the architectural impact not only for space usage but also for budget. So everything that we've talked about as far as remodeling new construction is included in Jack's numbers that he's going to talk about shortly. And one other sort of hidden component is we're planning on some mechanical upgrades in his budget in this building. So we've got an allowance in there for some HVAC upgrades, but it won't cover everything. There is a component in the budget.
So, what we've done is taken those very high-level concept sketches and applied some intelligent thought to a reasonable cost range that those concept sketches tell us, even though we don't have drawings or anything. So we'll talk about those qualifications in a minute. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to break the numbers up into 2 basic categories. This slide is your one-time cost, your upfront cost. What is it going to take to take you from where you are to the end state of the four items that we've heard about tonight. So the first item, in each of these categories, that would include construction costs, furniture, soft costs, escalation, any costs associated with molds, permits. So we've tried to think of, in broad terms, all the elements that would fit into the project cost, kind of, you know, soup to nuts, one-time fixed cost to get the buildings up and running. So the first category, which is addition to the existing schools, has to bring full-day kindergarten into the existing facilities, which includes the additions that you saw at Churchill, Forest Glen, Lincoln, and Franklin. And maybe that's it. So that's the additions. So around 15 million to 16 and a half. The concept for the new K to 5 school on the existing district owned property, around 27 to 29 million. Again, that building is a two level building. We're anticipating some site detention, stormwater issues at that building as well. Same with the new early learning center, just under 22 million and 23 and a half. Smaller building and square footage, but all on one level, so it has a little different cost factor associated with it. And then the work that you just saw at the classrooms and the cafeteria, as well as the interior renovation, to convert existing space to classrooms, 10 and a half to 12. So those are the cost ranges that we think are reasonable estimations for the magnitude of the project that we see today.
Bob? So I was asked to put together some additional costs in terms of operationally what it would run us each year for the various options that we presented this evening. And as you can see, the addition to existing schools and ongoing costs are estimated at $759,000 with one-time cost of $108,000 for total cost for first-year implementation of $867,000. At the K-5 building, the ongoing cost of $2.1 million with additional one-time, the ongoing cost of $2.1 million with one-time cost of $108,000, the total cost in first year of implementation of $2.2 million, and the early learning center ongoing cost of $2.1 million, with one time cost of $108,000, total cost approximately $2.2 million. I wanted to also point out that ongoing costs will include personnel costs, and then ongoing food service and transportation costs, and what will that, those costs be associated with each one of those, and then it also includes ongoing operational costs, which includes utility costs with these various recommendations.
So this, yeah, Ron, maybe we can collaborate on
that. Sure.
I'm trying to say up front that, you know, it's not based on design ability. There's no high level estimates to make sure that we don't get boxed in with a specific number of items.
No pun intended. Absolutely, yeah. Concept level drawings that need a lot of development and a lot more input from end users. Your budget information is historical data.
What we've seen here and other schools of similar size and character. So,
you know, Spalding, we may need to look at traffic signals, other things. There needs to be a lot of site engineering because of the complexities of that location. So we need to study that. And as we said before, you may want to look at a swing school for Lincoln associated with that modified existing site plan. And there is no budget line item in here for that swing school. We have included money in there for mobile relocation out here at Hadley. So, you know, we have a good appeal to that. But specifically, a swing school is not included. And we noted 2 to 3 year construction cycle. Because my experience has been, you know, you may move in December and finish it. And, you know, in that 2 year as far as usage, but then you're back in the summer doing site restoration, painting, and other things. So that's the kind of thing that usually trickles in on that 3 year cycle. Oh, sure, yeah. You know, I referenced this before during the presentation, but, you know, there is a new code requirement for storm shelters.
in schools, and most people don't know that now, but it would affect in January this year. So we're going to study that and likely reinforce one of those center core spaces over at either facility to withstand the code requirements.
So if we touch a building, we've got a...
New construction, and ISBE is still working on guidelines.
But is it just new construction, or if we remodel a classroom?
They're interpreting that. It's the standard right now. Okay. So any new, we're applying it to any new construction.
Right, but if I remodel a building, do I then...
Yeah, see, but even that is touchy because you could put a 50,000 square foot addition on a building.
Right. Okay.
So would that trigger it?
I would assume we've done some soil borings on Spalding, right?
I'm not aware of any. I haven't seen any reports that they might have been done years ago. I haven't seen any. And there wasn't originally a two-section plan. We're just looking at the two-section school plan there, so.
But even at Lincoln, while we have soil borings from the addition that we have that center area, we know from historical information these are things that we just wanted to make sure you understood from our standpoint.
Yep.
This is high level.
Given that was there was a building on that site before, are we using
Spalding, right,
as the footprint of your building and the location of the footprint of the old building?
This is going over that. This is crossing over that.
That's
going over.
There was a school there before. So next step. So the next piece, we will be coming out Saturday, January 31st, 10:30 here at Hadley, and then Wednesday, February 4th at 7 p.m. during the community listening sessions. As I outlined, we'll do a brief presentation, and then we'll have opportunities for community members to talk about it and report out. Board members will be facilitating that like they did with the technology listening session. And then we'll hand it over to questions for the board. Again, team.
First, I'd like to say thank you for pulling this all together. This is right along the lines of what we needed to start these next steps. The listening sessions are this Saturday.
This Saturday.
And next Wednesday.
And the next
then we're going to come back to another board meeting.
And we'll come back to another board meeting.
So what I'm going to do is hold my questions because I want to hear what goes on at the listening sessions to see if we can get more clarity in that. And I'm sure that we can have another lively discussion after that. But I'm fine with the information that you provided now.
I appreciate that.
Anybody else?
Well, I got one quick question. So, Paul, I just for my clarity's sake, on February, the next time we meet, you're going to come to us with two recommendations. One saying, we'd like this.
Or Churchill. Because that's a separate.
We'll have a discussion on that. And then another item.
Or a recommendation for the facilities. Or full day kindergarten. Yes. Larry.
Anybody else?
Regarding that,
please.
The three plans you showed, Churchill's not exactly the same. It's the same on the final two, but not on the change all this.
Oh, on the wait when you add.
So that's kind of throw you curveball a little bit on the two separate. They are. Depending on which one you choose, Churchill will look different. A looks different than B and C. B and C look exactly the same based on A, B, C, D, and the order you present.
Do you mean section numbers? Or?
No, the
design of,
what
Ron designed for, if we reconfigure all the schools, our kindergarten class, our two larger classrooms, the B and C
are
four classrooms. So... Now, you could still do an approval based on it. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No,
for
any
purposes, the budgets of those two are probably different, too. But they are.
They're different.
They're different depending on if you choose A, B, or C.
And I think the difference was either 9,200 square feet or 1,200 square feet. Is that
correct? About 900 square feet is what our current classrooms and what we're looking at for the kindergarten, about 1,200.
But it's two versus four.
Well, that area is about two.
Oh, 500. think we'll try to keep it pretty clean on the phase one and phase two pieces. We'll maybe phase one B for Churchill piece.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so you're thinking that the remaining four, or the new four classrooms in Churchill would finish out phase one?
As it fits into this. As it fits into these models. Yeah.
Okay.
We do.
Okay, so our phase two would be one of these other three choices.
Correct.
Hadley.
In Hadley. We see Hadley part of the whole.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah. So all of you, we talked about the K-5 option here, and I don't know from a board perspective. We're going to have a discussion next meeting and move forward from that. Does the redistricting conversation need to be clarified a little bit more? How it would potentially impact all of our community?
I think you need to know that 25% of the community would move 100 students from each school and what that would look like. So currently what we're doing down in Bob's office is geocoding each of our addresses and knowing who lives there. So if we were to make some boundary moves, we'd be fairly precise with how many students would move out of each one of those areas.
I guess
so, yeah, to me, it's about understanding that there would be a boundary change.
Right.
And where does it go from there? I mean, probably would not be giving you an exact scenario that this street, Park Avenue to this street, would go here and there, but just understanding that 25% of the students would be moving. Does that help? Doesn't look like it.
Well, yeah, it does. Okay. I just don't know if my next question is then. It's not going to be 25% of every student, all students from each individual school will go to the new K-5. It could literally be, I'm a Lincoln student now, and I'll be going to Ben Franklin because,
Boundaries are never clean and easy.
Right.
Been through a few.
And having been on the boundary committee, we do have a lot of people up north that we bring to Franklin, where their commute would be shorter if, you know, we rearranged. 25%, and then maybe a certain percentage of that gets a better community.
Yeah.
Good point. Joe?
Yeah, you know, one of the goals is right sizing. It was on, I think, one of the first two slides by the introduction slide and the second slide. If on the presentation we ultimately get, I'd like to see the number of kids projected in each school.
Okay.
Because that helps me reference, you know, our goals of right sizing.
Absolutely.
So if we can add that, that'd be good. And then, Ron, on your design, you know, one thing when we're doing the K-5, we can kind of compare to our current K-5s. In 108 parking spots, I think, and this was put later in your list that you provided, where we have traffic issues and parking issues. But I just wanted to get a sense from you relative to our other schools in parking. Are we like at the ideal at the new Spalding site? Is that the best of the five K-5s? Where does it fall into the spectrum? So I understand the relative nature.
That's a zoning component. We were hitting that target. We need to understand the number of teachers. You know, that's the key. So we estimate the number of based on the Glen Ellen zoning.
So we can fit that on that site.
Yes.
And then the second part of my question, relative to our other schools, that is awesome, that is middle, and just so everybody understands, I kind of could guess, but I don't want to guess.
Where does the K-5 parking lot kind of fit in the spectrum of our current facility? Is it better, in the middle, or worse than?
So what you would like is maybe a space study. I mean, it's going to be apples, oranges, and watermelons.
Well, for instance...
But the number of spaces.
It's really more, I'm just trying. It's good to get a sense that, you know, at these other schools, we know you've went out there and discussed congestion problems. It's on the notes section of the summary that we have traffic issues, you know, we have this. And even with building that K-5, I guess my question is, you know, yes, we're going to have less kids at the other schools, but what is the ultimate impact, and where does everything fall on a spectrum from the parking lot standpoint and the drop-off? That's all.
That's a good question.
I mean, did we really stop that we have at, say, Lincoln or Churchill. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing we made it better because you're, as at the K-5, we're taking it pulling away. But, and then I'd like to see the comparison of the five K-5. That's it from a presentation standpoint. Thank you. And thank you very much for everybody who presented.
Yeah.
Eric? Paul, just two quick questions. In the operational cost, there's nothing listed for Hadley. Maybe that's
remember, with Hadley, it's new space. No new teaching stations, no new programs, nothing along those lines. So it's bringing the teachers in from the portables. There's 10 portables outside, and bringing them inside in brick and mortar. So there's no operational cost for another teacher to teach whatever.
Okay, so
it's clean.
Okay, so additional electricity, gas, it's them, what you're saying, that's de minimis based on the other.
Correct.
So my only other question is, so I'm looking at these numbers.
Okay.
And obviously there's a, if this is something we want to move forward, there's a cost for that, and how that would be paid for. Are you thinking that you're looking to do this as a referendum?
Yeah, I've been very clear that that's the only way to do this. As a community member reference, not feeling like it's a possibility, I believe there is a possibility. When you're looking at this, full-day kindergarten is either going to happen now or in 10 years from now when you're going to pay a little bit more for it. You're going to pay more for the facilities. You're going to pay more for all of those pieces later. Sooner or later, this community will embrace full-day kindergarten. My question is, my piece is it now? Or is it down the road? But it will be, it has to be a referendum.
So
it has to be a referendum. There's no other way. As we talked about earlier in finance committee, we roughly have about $9 million in fund balance.
So my question is, is the referendum in two pieces? Is there a referendum for the building? Is there, and then a secondary
for an ed referendum?
Yes. For the education piece.
You are spot on.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
No. And we're going to bring more information on the referendum at February 9th. We'll have Liz Hennessy, who will be working with the finance committee, and then we'll also come to the full board to really discuss what does that look like. What does that look like if you were to take on a referendum and payments over 20 years or 25 years? We'll have those numbers for you as well.
And I would assume the finance committee members here, you guys are viewing this as a referendum or not in terms of funding. There's no other source of funding.
There's no other way to do it.
No other way to do it. Is that the finance committee's?
There's right out of the gate, I'd agree with you. There, it seems true. There's no other way to do it. Now, in terms of, I will say subsidizing, but you know, we can always look at fund balances, and then you start getting into the jeopardy of the reserves and all that other stuff. And we'll do what we can, but you know what? It's not going to be a 50-50 split,
yeah.
Like we did the last time. That's why we did the big chunk this time, so we could say there's just no more money in the pot to fund some of these things that we want to do if we want to go this route.
I think it was important to see through it, the classroom conditions were needed at every one of the schools. The work the board did was important work. This is that next step.
It's a conversation that I know it's semantics, but we didn't add anything.
We did not add. We
replaced.
That's a better way to put it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we took the classroom out of a portable and we put a classroom under a roof. We didn't add anything.
That's a great distinction.
You added a couple bathrooms.
And as we heard directly from kids and parents and teachers on Saturday, it was really nice coming inside. From the mouth of the babes, it was like, man, it smells a whole lot better in here than it did in the portable. From teachers just recognizing the use of the space that the board created for them. It's useful. It's been good. Those four classrooms at each of the schools are needed and will be needed.
Erica?
Just a couple of observations, and that's something that I think over the next couple of weeks with the listening sessions, but also the homework we'll have to do, is that, you know, when we started putting the additional space onto the buildings to get them out of the portables, we didn't know that we could finish Lincoln when we did. And so that iterative process of the building is what's brought us to this point, you know, and being able to see more flexibility and maybe some other choices that, that the district can make, which I think is a good thing. The other thing is I was cleaning out the file folders for tonight's meeting on facility stuff, and this idea of the swing school, if you can remember back when we were vetting all those options, option A, option B, with the same, I'm almost feeling like it's a deja vu conversation because it really does end up coming down to a question. The full-day kindergarten conversation really started in 2012 when Think Tank as an innovation tool brought that back. CIT picked it up, T21 did. You know, we heard from kindergarten teachers, et cetera. So that has to be a parallel conversation, at least for District 41 with facilities, because unlike District 89 that has flex space, they're just moving into spaces, and they've got a large number of teachers retiring too. So it's an apples and oranges kind of thing. We're not in that position.
No,
so
it has to be
It has to be a parallel conversation. So that's the other thing. So as I walk away from this, there are two things. Number one, this the term that you used about how existing space gets aggravated when you add on, and that's that whole core space conversation that I want us to keep in mind because. You know, part of my concern is not adding to an already difficult situation. We've been talking about this, so it's easy to look at and say we do this, this, and this, but the guts of it are still impacted because they aren't changed. So I want to think about that, that disruption, that aggravation. But I guess the last thing is, in thinking about this, just to put this out for my colleagues here, is thinking about which option really gives the district the greatest outlook in terms of, you know, complete portable removal, which is, you know, has been the goal since, at a minimum, the year 2000, not before, is able to build in that learning space, safe space, the creative learning space that we know we're going to need to use. So what's the option that provides for that collaboration space, labs, that one-to-one space as our population continues to shift that needs that one-to-one space with ESL or other teachers. And then the last part, and it was the last part of the conversation that made me think about this, does not put the district in a position in 5 years of being hamstrung again. Like, what provides that flexibility? Karen talked about the bubbles. And I want to point out to folks in the audience, and I'm sure a number of people have already seen this, but we do have a facilities timeline that's on the, looks like this, it's on the district website under finance, that shows this, you know, significant drop of more than 2,000 students between 70 and 85, where buildings closed, et cetera, boards at the time, across the state actually made decisions about that. And then slowly came back and now been in this 9-10 year consistent track of students. So that last piece for me is critical, is not hamstringing ourselves or future boards and certainly teachers and students in space that can't flex. And so those are things that I'm going to be listening for as we talk over the next couple of weeks, but also need to keep in mind.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes.
Sure.
I would like to request by February 9th if you could provide some model for us of a early learning center that might look like the one that
So you use pictures, but to go down to the deeper level
is
going to cost more money.
No, we don't need to spend more
money.
I'm just saying maybe
what is it?
A link so I can go and
see
how is it operating.
So we've been there.
Like the latest and greatest.
I got
what
you.
Are people doing with these centers? Because my understanding is what we're using right now has kind of been retrofitted over the last, decade
or
so. Yeah. And I'm thinking for many of us, we don't know what we would look like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other?
I've got a few. Is everyone done? Guys, again, thanks for getting this done. I know we put a lot of pressure on you to get Hadley in by tonight, so I appreciate that. I'd actually like to start with Hadley, if that's possible. Can we just bring that picture up?
Yeah,
if you don't mind. So I was just curious, you know, we've always talked about when we do something at Hadley, looking at the pods and doing something in that area. And it sounds like that was not the strategy that was taken, and I don't know if there's a reason for that or not, but those seem to be very inefficient, goofy spaces.
Yeah, we talked about there. Yeah, so a couple of pieces that we talked about that jumped in. Really looking at the space when we listen to the teachers, would they like a brand new space? They absolutely would. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really impacts them is everybody using their space. So the teaching has to stop when the pods are being needed. So that's a big piece. Do I recognize, would they like a new teaching space? They probably would. But creating the cafeteria allows for much greater flexibility for them, for the school, and the community at large to have a large cafeteria. The other piece that was really important is how many lunches we have to run through. The current Hadley lunch, we have 6 lunches that we run through. With a larger cafeteria, we would be able to seat up to 500 students in there. So again, we're reducing the number of lunches that we're having to operate, which helps the school overall function. So recognizing that they would like that piece, that would be nice. Yeah.
It has to be breakfast.
Yeah,
it was 6. Yeah.
And Paul, that's not. I don't know that that's really my question. So I get the cafeteria that was, you know, part of the initial strategy back in 2007. But we heard many times over the years, at least I've heard, that those pods are really poor learning spaces, sound problems, all this other stuff. And it just seems to me that if we are going to referendum, right, I mean, there's a priority and a budget, which we'll get to later, but it seems to me that would have been a space that we could have done something with. And the other reason I'm bringing that up is, you know, for me, a priority would be to provide Hadley with some additional activities that we don't have today. You know, 6th graders don't really get to participate too much in after-school activities or athletics or clubs and things like that as much as we would like because of space. And I didn't know if there was something we could do with that to help bring more programs. I mean, I'm guessing it's, you know, I don't know, 8,000 square feet or 6,000 square feet, and we could do something
with the pod. So one of the pieces we can look at that. It's going to be more money.
Yep.
I mean, that's a board kit piece. Yeah, if you want us to show that,
no, I don't.
Okay.
I want to talk about that more, John, with you, but I'd like to talk about that the next time we have a discussion item, if that's possible, as we talk about facilities in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Discussion.
So basically, you guys didn't look at that.
We looked at it. We looked at a lot of
and
things.
And you decided that this was the better solution for it.
Yeah, when it meets more kids' needs, the school's needs. We really tried to take the whole school. How is this going to help the entire school? We really felt like this was a greater benefit. More kids would be impacted by this space rather than that space. However, if the board wants us, we can bring numbers to that pod.
Well, it sounds like that's something that we will or won't ask you next time.
Okay.
And then the bus drop-off, is that similar to the one we had before?
I think the biggest difference, you're going to have the little median still there.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little bit of separation from, again, these guys are going to add to it a little bit more. But I know the last time this occurred, that was a major concern that some of those trees and that buffering would not be there. So they're taking it further behind.
So it's different.
Yes, I think it is. I think it is. And if anybody's driven down Glencoe, wow, this would be nice. If you're driving by right when buses drop off or right before buses leave, that's a real challenge.
Okay, and then another question around the K-5 and the Early Childhood Center. Just want to make sure I heard this right. It sounded like the Early Childhood Center had more of this, you know, what we used to call, I always forget the name, the integrated spaces with the smaller...
Yeah, the pull-out spaces, yes.
Yeah.
It's within that plan, there are little places for special education, one-on-one, what have you. They're diagrammatic allowances right here, these little interstitial spaces.
But those are spaces that kids can put in and work in, right?
Yeah.
And then, and maybe I missed it. We didn't do that on the K-5.
It's not to say that you couldn't. You know, again, there's these are diagrammatic. Right, there's a little bit of
flexibility. But again, it's a bigger.
Those little zones could be pull out, could be teaming areas. But we also don't know the full impact of special education programs coming back on the board.
Right.
Because as Karen said, it's a struggle. With the boundary changes, things are going to push and pull, and some of those things may end up being successful.
Okay. And did we add two additional pre-K in the early childhood center than we have now?
Or we did not add more. We have space for a tuition-based if we wanted. Okay. Or there is a flexible space, so I shouldn't design it.
Is it one or two flexible spaces?
Let's go back.
Go back to it.
I thought I saw two, and I didn't know if we...
Karen, do you remember?
The pre-K here, by the admin buildings?
Pre-K, right.
Yeah.
There's four there.
Right. So the assumption here in this is that we have the flexibility to have two more.
Yeah.
There's also no library in the early learning center because the literacy will be in the classroom
library.
So that's one less big space that we have to allot for, it looks like.
Absolutely. We're noticing that.
And can we go to Churchill, please, if you don't mind, on the additions? On the two kindergarten classes. Just a question. We keep talking about challenge of green space. We haven't really started Catherine, the phase 1B, the four classrooms. Is there a way to configure that to take away less green space with the two kindergarten classes, or was there some reason there that couldn't be done that way? So we're going to phase, I don't know what we're calling this thing, guys, but phase two, we're going to add those four classrooms. And then, assuming we went down a path, we would add two kindergarten classes there. And that would end up taking more green space. My question is, could that have been designed to have all six of those classes in the footprint of the four classrooms instead of taking up more green space?
Two floors.
Two stories.
Two stories.
Could it be designed? Yes. It could be designed to go vertically and in multi-story, but there's no cost savings there. And then it's an inefficient exercise because of the vertical circulation and the exiting. The stair towers are just create inefficiency with that such a small footprint. But it could be done. It could be done. And the other downside is that you can see how close we are to this building setback. It's going to be a real challenge to these end, and we have to apply for a variance. And we have a taller space. We may get pushback. When we apply for that, because we have a vertical structure.
And was there anything that would prevent us from taking the four that we're considering doing now and putting those on top of the addition we're going to do there?
You could do that, but the problem is that we're getting ready to occupy those spaces, right? They're going to be coming online shortly. And we would have to redesign this. We would have to redesign this entire space to receive that now. Before anything's done, we have to study that to make sure that we have the right bearing capacity. Because everything that's built right there is on fill. Everything is engineered fill. So we would have to study that to see if this could be modified. That would stop everything right now. Exactly.
And it would also go back to height restrictions.
Right.
We'll go back to what?
Height restrictions.
I'm sorry.
Oh, the height restrictions.
Then that whole footprint would change because we don't have any vertical circulation built into it. So
yeah.
So
you already poured the foundation.
Foundations are in place.
Right.
John, is your question about the green space? Because so you're talking about this. Just remind us, with all the detention work that we've done at the back of Churchill, right, and we shifted the playground space, are we gaining some space? I mean,
we're gaining a tremendous amount of usable space.
Usable space, right?
A lot of the space that had been.
Yeah, I understand we're getting.
A lot of the space was not really usable through much of the year because of what is. And,
right, I just want to point that out because so, I think that we're, you know, so much has happened, we forget that we've already made these adjustments and
right.
we've already
yeah.
created
you
some usage. Yeah.
This is not necessarily, this is not a usable play area, per se.
Right, right. But we've got that whole area that we just filled and spent, you know, brought all that whatever dirt over and all that stuff. So now it's usable.
Yeah. So and remember, this was designed to receive four additional classrooms originally in this first piece. So what we did, we talked about these pieces, and we knew there could be a possibility of accepting four new, and that's why the space was created the way it was, why the stormwater drainage was created the way it was. It was all designed to possibly create, to accept four new classrooms. That's been the plan.
For the whole time.
For the whole time.
The one thing, Ron, you said it very quickly, and it's vertical. We need to create circulation. You're going to have an elevator for the second floor by code. There's a lot
two
of
stairways.
Two stairways without other mechanical issues. And I think the cost per square foot goes up significantly when you go to the second store, the foundation, and all that because of this added space that's needed by code, let alone the variances that you may need or the impact you're going to have on your neighbors because of the second story, because it's hard to burn the second story and all the rest. But that, when you have the excess land, that's why going back so many months ago, you know, in your recommendation, we designed it for a single story, and then if necessary, we needed the four more, then you design that so we can add four more onto the hallway. We added the bathrooms in the other room so it could facilitate that additional addition.
That's the right addition.
And it would be a cost savings if you would have done it two stories because of the added space.
It's an important piece because I think some people are thinking there are cost efficiencies going up two stories. And again, I am not an expert here, but these two are. They're telling me, no, not until your third, fourth, fifth story is when you start seeing those cost efficiencies starting to occur, but second floor is not an actual cost efficiency.
No, at best you're going to be the same cost per square foot cost. But because of the inefficiencies of a two-story building, two stair towers, and the change in structure, now instead of putting a roof on, you're putting a floor on, and you're putting a roof on, a second floor and a roof, your cost per square foot is likely going to be at least higher. You know, at best it's the same, but most likely it's going to be higher until you start to get much more vertical. Then you get the efficiencies. That's why, you know, a 20-story building, you know, the cost per square foot of a 20-story building is much lower than the cost per square foot of a 2-story building. Because you get that great amount of efficiency then of repetition and so forth. But, so we could keep going down that. You get the idea.
Okay.
Any other questions?
That's helpful. Yeah, and then on the when I look at the cost of the additions versus the K-5 and the early childhood center, I feel that the cost of the additions, while they represent adding more, adding the two kindergarten classes, you know, we don't have the STEAM labs, the math labs, the lunchrooms.
And it really goes back to, we talked about that. It really goes back to what Jack was referring to. There's a point when we can keep studying that and keep doing that piece for it, but the cost and the square footage and what we're using is not beneficial. But if the board asks me to go back and add all those spaces, we'll do that for you. But
yeah, I think what I...
Not me. I'm not the expert.
No, you've already said you're not the expert.
Piece, just having apples to apples for each of the...
Yeah, I guess my question is that it seems to me that the additions sort of is underestimated if we were to compare apples to apples.
Oh.
Right? Because in the other ones, you're getting the STEAM labs, you're getting the lunchrooms, right? So
it is the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, if you were on the church floor, for example, you know, if we go back and besides adding the two kindergarten classrooms, you know, and we keep dual language, you know, you keep dual language there, and you have a whole kindergarten,
right.
And then you start to add all these other spaces, you start to then revert to, well, you got a very inefficient pod up in front of the building that back in probably 2007 or 2008, you looked at tearing that down and reconfiguring that whole front section. If you want
Right. That's what drove the two-story wing.
That's what ends up, you know, you start going down that road, there's a tipping point.
Yeah.
You know, and how could we tell you, okay, you add a steam lab, a math lab, a workroom, and so forth, it's going to add 3,500 more square feet. We could give you that information so you could do a more pure apples to apples, but the energy and effort that we have to go into here on how we do that isn't going to be really well represented in that document, because to create that additional mass creates all sorts of additional challenges on the site. Same thing at Franklin. And even though there's some green space at Forest Glen, that site is already undersized for.
Yeah, and don't forget too that, as you noted before, we have serious traffic issues.
Yeah.
Traffic issues there, and the building may see two additional classrooms, two more parking spots. You know, maybe this domino effect as far as zoning. So there are various tripwires that could be engaged. You know, just to push it back because we need variances.
So, John, I think we could help you get to that idea that there's apples to apples, but in terms of having them thoughtfully vetted out as to how you would implement them, I think that's the part of the puzzle that would be really hard to get your arm around.
Yeah, I'm just making the statement that I think we're underestimating the cost if we were to do apples to apples, and it's probably one of the limitations we should add on our options. Okay, anybody else?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Principal, staff, you guys can hit the road. Thank you for being here, but it's already 9:15. We will not take any offense, or for that matter, anybody else. And we'll turn our backs, and you can all take this moment to exit out. So we want you to feel like you have to stay for the next exciting
part. Let's take a two-minute break. Let us take a two-minute break.
Yeah, let's take a two-minute break. That's a good call.
Okay.
All right, folks, we are back in session after a roughly 7-minute break at 9:24-ish p.m. Our discussion item is 2015-16 student fees.
So back a few months ago, the Finance Committee and the Board had a conversation around student fees, about holding those fees at their current rate.
And that's what we're proposing again this evening, is to hold the fees as they have been for a number of years. I've given you some data that's been asked previously about what does the district generate annually, which is about $228,000 from basic and activity fees. And that is our recommendation, that we maintain the fee structure this year as we move forward, because it's getting to the point now where we're going to start registration, and we need to set these fees down. And then we also talked about coming back next year or working throughout the year, really, in terms of determining if this is the most appropriate fee schedule, if there's some other way to modify it, or some other way to look at it.
In recognizing that, we recognize the finance and the board itself had a conversation on this, but we wanted to tie up some loose ends, bring it for a quick discussion, if there is any, and then on February 9th, bring it for action.
Any questions?
Any?
Nope.
Okay. So then we'll plan on bringing it back for action at the next board meeting. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Okay, action items, consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources personnel report, employment recommendations and resignations, finance, facilities and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, vandalism report, disposal of surplus property, 2014 and 2015 FOIA report, school district payment order, January 7, 2015 through January 20, 2015, other matters, approval of board meeting minutes, January 12, 2015 regular board meeting, January 12, 2015 regular board meeting closed minutes.
No. Second.
All right. Thank you. Discussion? No? Roll call.
Mr. Elder?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes. Okay, superintendent's recommendation. Vision 2020 resolution. Vision 2020 is a student-centered vision for the future of education in Illinois. It focuses on four policy priorities: highly effective educators, 21st century learning, shared accountability, and equitable and adequate funding. The initiative was developed based on the input and efforts of educators from across the state, based on unprecedented collaboration among the Illinois Association of School Administrators, the Illinois Association of School Business Officials, the Illinois Principals Association, the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools, the Illinois Association of School Boards, and the Superintendents Commission for the Study of Demographics and Diversity. May I have a motion to approve the Vision 2020 resolution?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
I just want to point out in the Daily Herald, actually, at the beginning of January, I know that we talked a little bit about this, because at the conference there was a presentation about this, which not, wasn't the first time, but I think, you know, this had been discussed but not presented, so it was really presented at the conference. But in the Herald, the editorial was about this, and I just want to read the last part, because I think this is really the... They caught the theme of what this is going to be, hopefully, for the state of Illinois, and that is, efforts are underway that aim to assure that Illinois school children learn the skills they need to know in a 21st century economy, and it's incumbent on all of us to help shape those activities to create the maximum benefit for kids. And I think, you know, when you read the resolution, which I think is well written, but you look at the material, I think that piece isn't as highlighted, and I think that Harold, you know, kind of captured it, but this really is trying to say, can we get ahead of what some of these needs and interests are holistically as a state, knowing we have lots of different communities, so I think that's good.
Yes, my comment is, you know, I don't know that this is that important in terms of our community, but I felt, for me, there was a little bit of disconnect of it with our community, and some of the funding aspects of it I didn't necessarily appreciate or didn't really feel that it was where I would want to go. So I'll be voting no, but I think the important thing is what we do locally is important here, and you know, we drive the vision in the future, but I didn't necessarily find myself enamored with the resolution itself. So okay, roll call.
Mrs.
Nelson? Yes. Mr. Alder? Yes. Mr. Alder? Yes. Mr. Bocinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr.
Kendall?
No. Okay,
superintendent's report. Paul? None tonight. We had 2 hours. I think we're good.
All right. Board reports. Are there any board member reports?
I had two PTA meetings in the last couple of weeks. Was able to sit in for Dean because he was out of town. You're welcome at Ben Franklin. I had the PTA meeting on the 13th, and I just want to highlight a couple of quick things. Mr. Dively was at the meeting, as he typically is, and a couple of things I think are of note, and that's use of the courtyard. You know, wanting to have that be a space in the springtime for the kids to use, so they're going to be making some lunch tables available, but roll this in with their PBIS, which I think is neat because it's kind of an incentive-based in terms of some of the atmosphere in the cafeteria that can get a little difficult in the springtime with, you know, the need to get outside. So I thought that was smart, and he is asking for parent volunteers, so I thought I'd put that out in public. The other one was something that I think an age-old issue, and that is communication about transitioning from eighth grade over to high school, in particular Glenbard West. And because the information comes from West, even Hadley APs and even Mr. Dively himself are sometimes challenged with knowing exactly what's going on. So they're really working to improve that. And one suggestion, and I thought that this was good, was to, like we're doing for fifth to sixth grade, do a Q&A panel for parents of freshmen with parents of incoming freshmen to deal with some of the myths and, you know, FAQs and those type of things. So I thought that was good. And the other thing is, which was a change this year in terms of the PE schedule and health, that that the PE teachers are working more closely, so it's a more comprehensive view of health. There's one less channel of PE for students because they're spending, because we bundled health with PE. So I know there were some questions about that. I know I had questions about that, having concern that kids were not going to be active. But so I asked him about that, and he said no comments coming from the parents and no you know, issues in terms of the students. So that's been a good transition, it sounds like. The other meeting was the Ben Franklin PTA, and we had the meeting in Mr. Wittenberg's room, which is one of the addition spaces, and he kind of walked us through the room and talked about how he's using some of the new aspects of the space, which was nice. For Ben Franklin in particular, a couple of things. Mr. Burke, the AP there, talked about the park assessment, and one of the things that I think he did a nice job on with the parents that were there was talk about the preparation that the district has done in terms of working with the teachers, and especially on for the last you know, kind of year and a half, 2 years, he talked about just working on bandwidth and in particular getting our ESL students well prepared so that they're comfortable and can, you know, like you say, get a good night's sleep, eat breakfast, and come in. So he talked about the district being ahead of the curve on that and comparatively speaking with other districts. So he kind of walked parents through that. And just an issue of succession planning for the PTAs. I think this is important. It gets lost, but this is election time. They're all looking for nominating committees. And the good news at Franklin is that about 50% of their committee chairs are going to be back, so there's that continuity, as their president talked about. So I thought that was good. Mr. Wittenberg has a Google Doc that he uses for his teacher reports, so I thought that that was fun, and I mean, every single teacher gets to give some input. And then the last thing, really quickly, for a board report, I had a Team 21 meeting also in the last couple of weeks. And the last meetings, we've been having doing internet research in real time on different peer classroom visits and piloting a teacher collaboration and kind of learning, going into each other's classrooms, you know, experts in mathematics or literacy, and having teachers be a part of that learning so that they can pick up some skill sets. There's a ton of talent in the district, and we don't always utilize it, so Team 21 has been talking about how do we, you know, lift up some of the teachers that are really aces in these areas and do some professional development. So Team 21 is going to pilot doing that and asking to either be invited into their classroom or asked to sit in on a class and see what they're doing in terms of the workshop model and some other things, which I think is important because it's we're asking our students all the time to work collaboratively and learn from each other, and so the teachers are looking at ways that they can truly model that. So that was a great takeaway from the meeting as well. Yes.
Terrific. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, I just need to apologize to the Lincoln PTA. I was scheduled to go to that council meeting, but I was trying all best efforts to get there, but late in the game, I just couldn't pull myself out of bed for a flu bug, so I didn't give the other board members enough time to readjust all those schedules, so I do apologize for missing them.
Understandable, though. I don't think they would want you there in that condition.
Anything
else? Respectful as that could come across.
Jeff?
Yeah, just on Saturday, I was able to go to the Lincoln 5th grade performance of Dig It, and it took place right down the hallway there. They did an excellent job. It was a packed house when I was there. Lots of kids, lots of younger kids there, third graders, first graders, looking up at the fifth graders up on the stage, and it was just a great performance. It was fun.
That's pretty cool.
Sure. Thank you.
And I attended the Churchill PTA a couple of weeks ago. We talked a lot about a lot of the things that Paul ended up in his presentation about the need for the additional classroom spaces at Churchill and the inequities of that facility relative to the other ones, and the fact that that's the only, you know, when all the construction dust settles, it'll be the only elementary school that still has the portals. I was also with finance earlier tonight, pretty much spent most of the time talking about our preliminary budget that that was prepared, and again, it was in a very preliminary format, and Bob will be putting a more fleshed out budget in the coming Finance Committee meetings.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Upcoming meetings, February 9, 2015, regular board meeting at 7:30 p.m. at Hadley Junior High School. February 23, 2015, regular board meeting, 7:30 p.m. at Hadley Junior High School. Other matters, are there any other matters to be considered by the board?
Just one quick piece. We have a new member of our team, Ms. Nancy Moak, who will be joining me as my executive assistant. Maureen Stecker will be officially retiring on Friday. So welcome Nancy in as we say goodbye and good luck to Maureen. But we're really excited to have Nancy stepping in. And she's looking because she loves this right now. She's just like Maureen. She loves this type of attention. But we're really excited to... Yeah, really excited to have you as part of the team and to be working alongside me. So, welcome aboard.
Okay, terrific. Anybody else?
Patrick and I want to follow up on 2 weeks ago when you and I were calling into the meeting and we talked about the board coffee and conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So we agreed to March 7th, Patrick?
March 7th. The Saturday following... the state of the
union.
Town hall meeting.
It's like, no.
So similar to the last coffee and conversation that we have with community members, again, an open invite, no administration. It's just going to be school board members, Erica and myself, again, trying to get that unfiltered, unadulterated feedback for topics, conversations, agenda items that the community feels that they want to have with the board one-on-one. That they're not having PTA meetings or any other walk-by sessions and such. So we're hoping that it's during, what's it called,
Safety Fair, that the first annual safety, I think it's annual, Safety Fair is that day here also. That starts at 9 o'clock, and the description that we were given is that there's like an opening, but then it's kind of a drop-in. There's different sessions that you can go to. So what we want to do is push back the start of ours. We want to go from 8:30 and then get a hard stop at like close to 10. So if parents want to go over, they can. But we will also be encouraging people to go over to Safety Fair. I'm going to go on afterwards myself. So we want to make sure that we bundle that. But the 14th is scheduled already for the League of Women Voters and District 41 legislation, the candidate forum. So we want to make sure that that time that people can get to that and don't want to offset that. So we'll go with the 7th. And it'll kind of bookend these other conversations so we can have that. And we're going to try and have it at the Glen Oak again. They were very gracious, and so we're going to check into that.
Thank you both for doing that.
I think we're the only ones that had time. So that's good. I'm glad we can do it. The last thing is I just want to put on, have it on tape, but the student speakers at the ribbon cutting at Ben Franklin were tremendous. Andrew Novak, Aaron McGinley, and James Scherer, and Andrew and Aaron are in Mr. Jones's class, Randy Jones, who has his class like full of like sports and football stuff. It's the riot. And then James is in Mrs. Smith's classroom. So they were all very eloquent kind of unscripted, although the third one read his report, which was great. But it was good to hear from them and some of the what they appreciated about the space. So they were great.
Okay, terrific. Any other matters? All right, we have a need to adjourn to closed session. To discuss collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. May I have a motion? The board will not be taking action when it returns to open session. Thank you.
Roll call.
Mr.
Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson? Yes.
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 Mr. Escalante.
Yes.
Mr. Elder.
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy. Yes. All right.